We are now joined by Adam Byrne, co-founder of Bush to Bo, which is a 100% Aboriginal-owned social enterprise. Adam, hello, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Rory, how you going? Pleased to be here.
It's our absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. Bush to Bo is a social enterprise aimed at creating a healing space and a platform for First Nations people by connecting to country and their traditional food ways. Can you please tell us a bit more?
You covered a fair bit there. Started about 4 years we've been going for. It was started by myself and Clarence Brunsma, another local fellow that lives on the northern beaches over here near Sydney. I'm on Garigal country. His country is on Yagal country, so he's from mid-north coast, and my country is from the Darubin River down here near Garigal country, and I've got family goes all the way through to Lake Macquarie. Grew up on Darkindung country on the central coast, Warramai Darkindung country. And we just met through a local mob meetup here on the beaches and just started talking and, you know, yelling about landscaping actually at first, because I'm a landscaper and just a general and common interest in like native gardens and local indigenous plants. And yeah, we just kind of went down a rabbit hole and then got more into the food sovereignty, you know, for First Nations people and how there's only about 1.5 to 2% of Aboriginal people in that whole industry. We saw that as like kind of like a driving and inspiring fact that we sort of, well, inspiration to try and tap into that space as an opportunity to connect mob back to their foods as a form of healing, or healing that space, you know, like, because how can you have a culture without their foods? Yeah, and I think that and language have to really, really be revived in order for the culture to get stronger.
Mm-hmm. I was actually wondering, how difficult is it to get traditional food these days, especially, I guess, in bigger cities?
That's a good question. We do most of our foods fresh because we sell foods into restaurants and cafes and just the general public. And well, the good thing about our foods is they're seasonal at the moment because of the demand isn't as high as, you know, your European style farming foods that most households have. So at the moment it's very seasonal, which is a good thing when it comes to farming. But there's a lack of people actually farming the foods. There's actually a lot of food that comes from overseas. They're growing some of the bush foods overseas opposed to here in Australia. So yeah, there is things like wild harvesting on people's country as well. So you can go out in certain areas to harvest on the country that you live on. Like say, for instance, if you're on Garigal, the coastal country, sandstone country here in Sydney, there's a lot of, say, Warrigal greens, for instance, which is a spinach that grows near the coast. So there's a lot of that kind of foods along here that you could wild harvest with permission in certain areas. And then if you're inland country like Gomeroi country or Wiradjuri country, there's like lots of saltbush. So there is opportunities for mob to harvest off their country. We like going out on country and wild harvesting because there's that connection to country. But I also like the idea of farming the foods. Eventually, that's something we want to work to, because it's a place that you can train, form skill sets from horticulture to electrical to plumbing to cooks to carpentry. I would love to see a lot more mob farming the foods as well as wild harvesting, because it's a way of, yeah, creating that space, you know, in the food industry. And at the moment they're quite expensive, so it seems like it's a bit of a luxury food, you know. So if we want to create more of that traditional foods and cuisine, because at the moment if you think about Aboriginal cuisine, there isn't much of an Aboriginal cuisine out there, you know. There are some incredible places like Black Sea down south coast. They have their own cafe, and there's like Midden restaurant, Mabu Mabu in Melbourne. So there's really, really some drivers in the space. It would be incredible to have, say, in our Woolies and our Coles and our supermarkets, having a section of First Nations foods that people are taking home to their cupboards and to their pantries. And us kind of forming a cultural cuisine that's cultural to Australia, and that story travels all over the world.
I would absolutely love that. How far off do you think we are at the moment? Is it possible that this will happen?
I think we're a bit off, but we're closer. It definitely has to be more than 2% of mob in the space. It seems as though for me that it's getting bigger and bigger, but I'm consumed in it and I'm surrounded by it daily. So I don't know from a perspective outside of here, but it's still mainly in those restaurants. I still feel we are quite a bit off getting to that point of having those foods in our supermarkets. But it is edging closer. You know, there are some of those bigger corporations that are trying to push for that, trying to get more black businesses in there.
And when we talk about bush food, what maybe would be the food that we can imagine going to those supermarkets?
I think we start with herbs and leafy style, like just really basic flavors. And then you can replace those flavors in your fridge and in your cupboard. So you could start with just tea and your salt, like your salt bush, your pepper berries, lemon myrtles, aniseed myrtles. Like there's peppermint gums, there's strawberry gums. There's so many different unique flavors that we could just be connecting to that country and to that food through a cup of tea, or just putting it on as something that complements a meal. Because I am too really into the idea of that collaboration between the multicultural space of Australia. We're a very multicultural country, and I love that idea of that collaboration between those different cultures with traditional foods as well. So I think that's a really exciting space as well, because you don't really know where food could go if all our cultures combined together as well. But I think we start basic with like, just those simple herbs, and then just something as simple as warrigal green, which is a spinach, and some of those crunchier, salty plants like purslane and sea blight that grow closer to the ocean, and they have those natural, crunchy, salty, almost like vegetable leaves. It's all healthy. These foods are, in some cases, 100 times more vitamin C than some fruits, the antioxidants, and like some of these like plants, for instance, like sarsaparilla, are like full of iron. Davidson plums, crazy high in vitamin C, Kakadu plums, and all these foods are just jammed with vitamin and antioxidants and just real healthy superfoods. So it's not an easy way to transition it, because we're so used to that habit of just using the foods that have been used in our households since being kids. But it might be as little as just sprinkling saltbush on top of it, or some mint bush, some native thyme, just a couple of things. And that in itself is a really powerful way to connect culturally and to food sovereignty.
Who are your customers at the moment?
We do a lot to the Commonwealth Bank restaurants in their buildings. So they're big supporters of ours. And there's a head chef there called Lee Hardy, who takes on some young mob as chefs doing traineeships, and he's just been a really big supporter with food sovereignty with Aboriginal people. And yeah, so he just got us this, just started, said, you know, if you can get me fresh produce weekly, and he's just really open to new foods as well. So we update our seasonal menu of catalogue of foods that we take to them, and they're always open and they love to experiment, and they have a lot of people that come through their cafes and restaurants in their buildings through their workers and through the visitors. So yeah, that's been a really big journey for us. And then there's just like really local, nice local producers, you know, like artisan style, like cafe owners and makers, you know, bakers, things like that, who'll come and support us. They'll buy as much as they can, plus run their business just because they want to support. And then the odd person comes in and just wants to do something for a school project, or wants to have a dinner with friends and just support us. So they come in and buy produce as well.
Awesome. And I was wondering, how does your day-to-day operation look like?
Oh, gosh. It always changes. One time, one minute I'm on the tools making a garden, you know, digging holes, and then one minute I'll be teaching in a school, or I kind of wear a few hats because that's just how we run, you know. We've started from the ground up, literally, you know. We've had no help financially, but we've had a really big support by the community, which is really beautiful. So we've had to wear many hats, like Clarence and I and our staff. You know, one day we're out washing foods or then propagating plants to doing tours and teaching. And next thing I'm on the shovel making gardens. And yeah, I just do what I got to do to help the team and keep the ship afloat and hold on to our staff because we value everyone that works there and we don't want to lose them. So I do what I got to do. And Clarence is the same. And the other managers that work. Yeah, it's real family based, yeah.
But how big is Bush to Bowl at the moment?
We're not like huge, like in the sense we have a few full-timers. We have a couple of trainees who have just started, April and Liam, and a bunch of juniors that work on the weekends. And then we have, you know, someone who manages the foods, Clarence and AJ, my sister, and yeah. My mum does the books and because she's a retired accountant, and then we have someone's mum does the catering. You know, it's really like really, really family. We just try and support and just try and do it using everyone's skills. And as long as we've got food on the table and we keep the ship afloat and we help each other out, then that's all we really want. We don't want to be this like huge enterprise. We just want to kind of get our hands dirty and learn how to do things. So when people want to take that, you know, other mob want to take that step, then we can come in and eventually mentor them. And then we have these pockets, this circular economy of growers out there, like traditional ways of trading foods and skills. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see more farms. I'd love to see more nurseries and more restaurants, cooks, just more skills and just empowering our people just through food. Food's such a gentle approach, and everyone who walks on this planet eats or needs to eat, and food is the best way to sort of open those yarns, those conversations, and which I think it's something we need to do. We need to sit down and just learn off each other and collaborate and love and, yeah, and share. And food is the best with a full belly and a few laughs. That's a good start, you know.
Absolutely. Adam, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about bush food. And all this food talk is making me really hungry.
I know. I need a cup of like a bickie or something right now.
Well, thank you so much. It's been really great talking to you.
Oh, you too. I appreciate you.